Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is Jonathan Greenblatt, CEO of the ADL. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Over the past few days, we have seen a rise of protests throughout the country, nationwide, pro-Palestinian protests on college campuses, including Columbia University. You were at Columbia over the weekend, so can you tell us about your experience there?
Sure. So, you know, the ADL is the oldest anti-hate organization in the country. We focus on fighting anti-Semitism and all forms of bigotry. We've seen issues on college campuses for years, but I've really never seen anything like what I witnessed firsthand at Columbia. So I was there right off of the campus on Amsterdam Avenue. You know, the campus is in the middle of the Upper West Side. You know, it is flanked by major streets. And there on the sidewalk, right in front of the entrance at 115th Street, was an angry throng of protesters, most of whom were wearing full masks, so you could only see their eyes. They had drums, they had noise machines, they had flags, and the chants were "From the River to the Sea," "Intifada," which is, you know, the violent uprising that killed 1,000 people. "Intifada is the only solution." More stuff like that that was clearly hostile. I met with NYPD on site, who described the protesters yelling at them, cursing at them, using very vulgar language. And then after seeing all this myself and walking the perimeter with law enforcement, I actually went to the Hillel and met with Jewish students. The Hillel is the Jewish center on campus. And what I heard from these kids, from these young people, was absolutely stunning, and I thought just completely unacceptable.
Can you talk a little bit about that? What did you hear specifically from the students?
Well, so I was, there must have been about 80 students, and I was again part of a listening session where they shared their stories from the last few days and weeks and months. And I heard stories about students being spit on, students having liquids hurled at them, students having rocks thrown at them, students being followed and stalked on their way out of campus, students being told, physically threatened, hearing things like, "We are going to do 10-7 to you, we are going to Hamas you," you know, and just being hurled epithets and curses at them, "You effing Jew," you know, "Get rid of the Zionists, kill the Zionists," things that are just, I think, fairly unimaginable and inexcusable in any context, let alone on a college campus. There is a large tent, you know, encampment that's been set up by these quote unquote protesters. And let's talk about the terms we use in a minute. And at this camp, at this encampment, they won't allow Jewish students inside. So literally, these students block your ability to enter if you're not vouched for by someone inside the tent area, even though they're all Columbia students. They have free rein on campus. And yet the students have made it a no-go zone for kids identified by, "Are you wearing a Jewish star on your neck? Because if you are, then you can't come in." I mean, it's crazy. You know, I think I've seen this kind of stuff overseas. I've never seen it here in America before, which gets me to the point, like, we need to be smart about how we describe these people. These are not protesters who are there to demonstrate their dissatisfaction with a particular policy. These are activists and agitators, some from campus, many from off of campus, who have snuck onto Columbia's grounds. These are also not pro-Palestinian, you know, individuals. They are pro-Hamas. These individuals are literally, there was one woman standing up holding a sign, I saw the picture, in front of some Israeli, or I don't know if they're Israeli or not, but Jewish students holding an Israeli flag. And the woman had a sign and it said, "Al Qasem, your next target." You know, Al Qasem is the military arm of the Hamas. I mean, so let's just make sure that we're, you know, talking about it as it is, not as we want it to be. These are not protests, they're activists and agitators. These are not pro-Palestinian, they are pro-Hamas. And that's really different. I mean, because they're not protesting to say, let's have a two-state solution, or let's have peace talks, or let's rebuild Gaza. This is all about destroying the state of Israel, and this is all about menacing and threatening their Jewish classmates.
To your point, what do you think the media is missing then in this coverage?
Well, in terms of what the media should do, number one, they need to show up on campus and talk to everyone. There's a story today in the New York Times that seems delusional at best and ideological at worst, suggesting that the Jewish community is divided, that more Jewish students are supporting these activists than not. Like, that's not the case. The media needs to go there and talk to these students firsthand and hear their stories and see and observe. That's number one. I think number two, the media needs to start asking tough questions. Like, I think President Shafik did the right thing in bringing on NYPD. Now I want Governor Hochul to say, hey, the National Guard is available if the NYPD isn't enough. And I want the people around the university to say, we've had it. Like, if you live in that neighborhood and you have this disturbance every day, that's not freedom of speech. Again, that's a public nuisance. And we need the authorities to really step up here. And then finally, I really want the folks who write the laws to revisit the laws around masking. Like, ADL is a free speech organization. We have fought ferociously for the First Amendment since before any of these protesters were alive. Literally, since probably before their parents were alive. ADL's been at this work. And yet, freedom of speech or freedom of expression does not require you to wear a face mask totally covering your face such that you can again intimidate and harass people with impunity. There are spaces and places to be anonymous. But if you're going to stand there and have the privilege of being on private property like Columbia University, then we have the right to demand you identify yourself. It's that simple.
There have been accounts on social media, as you've probably seen, that are saying the encampment on Columbia's actual campus is largely peaceful. The coverage is getting it wrong, but it's the activists outside that are hurling anti-Semitic terms, that they're being the ones that are more chaotic. What do you make of that, because you were there?
Well, I think a few things. So number one, the protests on the outside are absolutely off the wall. And like, it's inexcusable that that would be permitted on, like, literally on top of Columbia. Now, I spoke to President Shafik today. She informed me that the protesters have now been moved off of the sidewalk across the street, which is good, because students had to pass through them in order to get onto campus. I mean, how demented is that? So that's number one. Number two, in terms of the encampment, well, peaceful can mean different things to different people, but if there is a space that's on Columbia property, students don't have the right to say who can or cannot pass through it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's unacceptable that students get to kind of play act as if they were people in position of authority. They're not, they're students. They are not owners of that institution. They are paying customers at that institution. Everyone should have equal rights. That's number two. And then number three, you know, honestly, the assaults, the harassment, it's not happening off, it's happening on campus. It's happening at this encampment. So I think it should be cleared. And then I think people should have the right to tent if they have a license or a permit to do so. And they should not be able to, again, hide behind masks if they're going to do that. It's quite simple. So I agree with the assertion that there's a lot of negativity coming from the outsiders, but I disagree that it's all them. It's students too. It's happening at the encampment. It needs to be dealt with.
Do you think that President Shafik, the Columbia University president, is doing enough here, or do you think that she should resign?
No, I don't think that her resignation solves the problem. I mean, unfortunately, it's so bad that they had to cancel classes today, as you might know. So President Shafiq announced that all the classes are remote today. Look, she did the right thing in arresting students last week. She needs to continue to apply pressure. She needs to continue to assert her authority. She needs to continue to demonstrate to the agitators that they're not welcome on campus, and those students who violate the code of conduct, disciplinary action should be taken. You should be suspended or expelled if you're doing something that's violative of the law. I think it's not nearly as hard as some people are making it out to be.
A Columbia rabbi, as you know, urged Jewish students to go home in the wake of these demonstrations, but the Columbia Barnard Hillel posted this, quote, "We do not believe that Jewish students should leave Columbia. We do believe that the university and city need to do more to ensure the safety of our students." What do you think?
I mean, I talked to so many students yesterday who told me they were leaving because it is the Passover holiday, so they're going to be leaving anyways. That's number one. But a lot of them are afraid for their physical safety. And I think it should be, and I know it is unacceptable to President Shafiq, and I hope it is to every Columbia trustee that this would be allowed, that things would be allowed to unravel. So yeah, they need an intervention for sure. I think law enforcement can offer that intervention. NYPD needs to be invited on campus so they can do more to keep these kids safe.
And who do you think needs to invite NYPD on campus? President Shafiq, and in your conversation with her today, was there any indication that she's going to do that soon?
I don't want to reveal a private conversation, but what I would say is that she certainly understands the gravity of this and seems prepared to deal with it appropriately.
Before I let you go, I do want to ask about the White House's response. They spoke out against these protests, and they said this in part. While every American has the right to peaceful protest, calls for violence and physical intimidation targeting Jewish students and the Jewish community are blatantly anti-Semitic, unconscionable, and dangerous. What do you think of the response, and do you think the Biden administration is doing enough?
I appreciate the national strategy they released almost a year ago, and I appreciated the statement yesterday. But look, I'd like to see Secretary Cardona go to Columbia. I'm sorry, U.S. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona go to Columbia. I want to see the administration demonstrate that they're going to take real action. Now, you should know that the Education Department has initiated maybe a dozen and a half, or maybe two and a half dozen, Title VI investigations of universities. That's more than's ever happened in the history of the Office of Civil Rights at Education. So that's good. But we need the administration to continue to say the right thing and then to do the right thing. So again, I would like to see more Title VI investigations. I would like Department of Justice to offer services to schools to help them with appropriate, you know, protective measures. And I'd really like to see the FBI investigate these groups for their espousal and their continued kind of elevation of Hamas propaganda. I mean, I probably don't need to tell you, Hamas is not, you know, like a Girl Scout troop. It's a foreign terror organization as designated by the U.S. State Department. As such, it is a violation of the criminal code if U.S. citizens are supporting Hamas. You're not allowed to, you can't do a bake sale for, you know, Boko Haram at Columbia. You know, you can't do a raffle for Al-Qaeda at your local Knights of Columbus Hall, and you can't provide material support for Hamas. So it's about time that the FBI and law enforcement authorities took a real hard look at who is behind this, where is the money coming from, and, you know, again, applying consequences to people who are breaking the law.
You said at the beginning of this conversation that this is something you haven't seen in the United States. You've seen it abroad, not here. What do you think is missing then from the national conversation?
Well, I don't know if everyone appreciates how if we don't act, things like a virus, things spread. And again, we've seen these kinds of protests in places like London. We've seen these kind of protests in some other European capitals, Paris. I've never seen anything like this here before, but this is a virus, and this virus, again, will spread. It will move. It won't be contained just to Columbia or just to the Ivies or just to colleges. It's coming to corporations. It's coming to cultural institutions. It's coming to the halls of Congress. This virus will overtake everything if we don't get engaged. And that may be the most important point on which to kind of end the conversation. As Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Lord Jonathan Sacks said, anti-Semitism starts with the Jews, but it never ends with the Jews. Anti-Semitism and the kind of conspiracy theories that drive it, they are symptomatic of social decay. And an institution like a university or any other organizing unit that tolerates anti-Semitism opens the door to this kind of virus coming in and corroding everything. So this is not a Jewish problem, although it directly affects and imperils Jewish college students. This is an American problem. And to watch these people tear down American flags, try to burn American flags, as happened. It happened at Yale yesterday. It happened in New York City last week. It reminds me that this is much bigger than just a few Jewish students being targeted. This is about society as we know it. And if we want to hold on to this, we've got to be ready to fight for it. And that doesn't mean fighting for it by getting guns or weapons. That means fighting for it with the legal and moral tools that we have at our disposal and putting our shoulder to the wheel and giving it all we've got.
Jonathan, thank you so much for sharing your experience today, for joining me. I appreciate the conversation.
Thank you so much.